Well, good morning. We've been talking about the names of God. And we'll do a quick review here and jump on to some more things for today. So just something you hear me repeat every week, and I'm going to say it over and over again. God wants to be known. You know, I say that because there are way too many people, Christians or non-Christians, who think God's a mystery. Who think God is not knowable. Who think God is not personal. If we can just connect just that thought with people's hearts, that the God who created all things wants to be known by you. That in and of itself has a depth of revelation that can help take people to feeling a connection with God, to realizing they have purpose in life, that they have hope, and they have a God who created them for that purpose and who has given them the grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, to help them walk it out. They are not abandoned. They are not alone. God wants to be known. The name represents a person's character, authority, and power. And as we're going through these names, we continue to build upon, not compartmentalize, build upon who God is as he's revealing himself to us through his names. So we're building upon that. And hopefully, you will see yourself as you look at each one of these names, to what degree and depth of revelation do you have with these names? You know, as you look through Scripture, we see the timing for when these names were revealed. It wasn't just arbitrary or random. It was at an exact time when that name was needed. And you have to realize, and we all have to realize, that it's only in those times when we need something, when we need a particular name of God that carries with it the thing that we need, the answer that we need, that the revelation will come if we press in. So when you face those times of needing provision, needing healing, needing the manifestation of the power of God, needing protection, as you will, probably today, tomorrow, and every other day, there'll be something where a need will arise. That's when we have a choice. Do we just press into our own ability and get by or accept it as a norm? Or do we press into more of God and who he is, whereby the revelation of that name can come? Too often, people just get so accustomed to accepting circumstances as they come. They say, let's just deal with it. Meaning, in their minds, just accept it as normal. No, we have to be resistant to that mentality. We have to only press in and accept God's standard and definition of normal. And that's going to fly in the face of a lot of people's ideas and mindsets. That's okay. Because God can then work through you. So we must be in his word and in his presence on a regular basis if we want to grow in the understanding of who he is. You cannot expect to come on Sunday mornings and hear a teaching and the rest of the week do absolutely nothing with reading your Bible, time in prayer, waiting on the Lord, and expect to grow. You may grow, but it will be severely limited in comparison to pressing in every day, every morning, beginning your day with something from the word of God. It doesn't matter what. Now, I'll be honest. I like organization. If you know me, you know that's a fact. I like structure. I like having a plan. And so I operate well when I can have a plan. Okay, I'm going to work through this book, or I'm going to work through the book of Proverbs, or whatever it is my plan is. It doesn't matter how or what you do. Do something. Just do something that teaches you a little more about who God is. And when you look back months or years down there, you'll see how that contributed to your growth. But in the absence of that, you'll also look back and see how you haven't grown. You'll see, man, I'm in the same place I was a year ago, in the same level of faith, and facing the same faith struggles that I am today. Well, no condemnation there. Just get to action. Get to it. And you'll see that growth occur. So a review of the names thus far. First, we looked at Elohim, Genesis 1:1. Elohim. Powerful, Creator, Covenant Maker. That's what he was revealing to us through that name. There is no higher power. He is all power. And then he uses that power for a purpose, to create you, me. We're the pinnacle of that creation, created in the image of God. Nothing else living and breathing in this world is created in the image of God, except people. And then he went even farther, covenant-making God. He loves you so much. Not just, he didn't just create you and then abandon you. He created you and then to be with you. Think about this. What if you as a parent, we have a number of parents in here, grandparents, people who've been a parent. If you had children, you were brought into the world, you created them, and you abandoned them. What does that tell us about love? It's the opposite. God didn't create us to abandon us. He created us to fellowship and be with us. And he made that evident throughout the scriptures. Because God's revealing this on power, uses it to create, uses it to keep covenants, because I want to get closer to you. He's a very personal God. I like this. He's a very personal Father. I've always liked the illustration of a father. It helps me understand the heart of God in a deeper way. And it came in a deeper revelation when I became a father. You understand a little more and keep growing. Next, look at the name Yahweh, the name God revealed to Moses. God is unchanging, faithful, and redeeming. He's unchanging. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, I'm the same today as I was for them. I haven't changed and I never will. I am the same. I am the same. It's been hundreds of years. I am the same. You can trust that what I did for them, I will do for you. I am the same. He's unchanging. He's faithful. Faithful God, when he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and when it was the right time, he came in and delivered the people. Which gets into that last part, the redeeming. Unchanging, faithful, redeeming God. He wants to use all the resources at his disposal to bring to pass his will, to make himself known in this world. That's why he called Israel, to have a people, peculiar, but people, who were his own, whom he could operate in and through and be with, so the world would see, who's this God that they have, who protects them, defends them, fights for them? Wow. He didn't do it to hide himself. He did it to make himself known. Because God wants to be known. And that was revealed to Moses there. Again, the right name at the right time. They needed deliverance. They were slaves and in bondage. And God came and revealed this deeper aspect of his name. If your children and grandchildren get into trouble, do you just observe? Or do you endeavor to intervene and help and deliver and protect and save? Again, that's what a father, that's what a mother, that's what a parent does. He's given us a great example of that. And then we began talking about this third name, El Shaddai. The God of barely enough. The God of more than enough. You know, we've been coming into times, even a couple years ago, and we saw anybody go to the grocery store besides me, and the shelves were kind of bare with like toilet paper or paper towels. Like you encountered that. I can't find it. That's important stuff to find. And it was barely enough for people who were shopping and looking for these, what we call necessities. But God's a God of more than enough. His shelves are never empty. They're overflowing and abounding with provision. But circumstances around us may and very well at some points look bare, look empty, look inadequate, look insufficient. But God's storehouses and resources are more than enough for what you need. So if you're facing a need right now, whatever it is, remember, God's the God of more than enough. He is your El Shaddai. And that was the name he revealed to Abraham, Abram, before he became Abraham. Because that was the name Abraham needed. God was calling him to separate from his people, from everything familiar to him, and to go and do and begin something new. So he needed to know, okay, I'm going to venture out here in the complete unknown. Who's going to provide what I need for me and for my family? God said, I will. God again comes in the scene and brings a revelation of himself that is needed at that time. And every one of us, from Abraham to Moses to all these people, we can all relate to them at some point in our lives. We've all had needs, right? We've all had situations where we've needed to know God's going to provide what we need, whether it's a job, whether it's money, whether it's toilet paper. And you know, oftentimes his provision comes not in the way you expect it to. You might be expecting, God, need provision. Bring $1,000. What's he bring? Another job. The means by which you can make the money you need. Oh, but it wasn't just a card in the mail that just had a $1,000 check in it. No, he provided a job. Don't limit God to how his provision and how his answers come for you. Be open to that. Otherwise, you'll miss God. So when studying the life of Abraham, looking at kind of his journey, broken into two categories. What led up to God revealing himself as El Shaddai? And then what happened afterwards? And we see that distinction in his life. So we're looking through some of those things. And I know last time I felt the Lord expound upon a few things, which I'll just recap here. And we really focused on last week with it. Abraham was called and qualified. Called and qualified. You know, we talk about Abraham, and the New Testament remembers him as father of faith. Yes. Not the father of failures. Because guess what? He had lots of failures. He made some pretty bad mistakes and sins and messed up. But God doesn't remember our failures. He remembers our faith, our growth. And he's always there to help us through as a father or a mother. What would you want to constantly be saying to your children? How they failed, how they failed, how they failed, how they failed. What's it going to instill in them? That they can succeed or that they're never going to fail? We should be instilling in one another and in our children, you can succeed. Yeah, you messed up here, but learn the lesson, trust the Lord, and move forward. See, God doesn't cause everything, but he can certainly use anything if we let him. And that's where it comes back to us. We have that choice to make. And so we're focusing, as God did, on Abraham's faith, not his failures. And that we are created for greatness. I said that quote last time, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he's called. You don't have to get right and clean and whatever else you need to do before God will accept you. You need to humble yourself and see your need for him and come to him and then let God do the work in you. He's the one who has that responsibility. God has equipped you with unique gifts and talents. Proverbs 18:16. Please remember this one. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift. Where did a gift come from? God. God's gift in your life as it operates, when it operates, and how it operates, is what will open doors for you. But, word of caution, not every door that gift opens is a door you should go through. And I shared my testimony even recently of the judge of elections position, and hey, that gift of God operating of administrative and things in my life opened up that door. And I started to walk through it. Thankfully, I stopped and backed back out. Is it a wrong thing? No. But it would have been a disobedient thing, which makes it a wrong thing. But in and of itself, it's a very good thing. You may have very good things. The devil is more than happy for you to do an abundance of good things in your life. Do you realize that? He's happy with that, as long as they're the disobedient things. But when you get in line with God's things, that's when it begins to pester him. He begins to be agitated and respond. That's okay. God's not surprised by that. He knows what's coming, beginning to end. We just trust God and keep moving forward. But God has qualified you. He's given you unique gifts and talents to be used for His purpose. And I shared that last time about Eric Little and the Scottish sprinter and runner, and he ultimately stayed the course. He used his gift of running, which is a world-acknowledged skill or talent that's given attention, like with the Olympics. He was able to use that, and he used it to draw attention to God. He used that platform that was given to him to talk about Jesus. He refused to compromise the use of that gift in a certain way that would have violated his conviction. So we have to be very careful that because your talent can take you, as I said last time, to a place where your character can't keep you. I bet you know some of these names who all started in the church using their gift from God, and then ultimately strayed into a place where they got so focused on their talent and whatever else, the worldly treasures, that they began to fall away. Elvis Presley, a little before my time. Katy Perry. Denzel Washington. Brad Pitt. Jessica Simpson. Many of them whose fathers were the pastor. We have to be very sober-minded that we don't think that this can't happen to us or to our children or grandchildren. No, we have to equip them to building their character before anything else. See, when opportunities for conflict with God's will come up, which do you choose? The path of talent or the path of obedience? Because your talent is never an excuse for disobedience. God gave you your talents, your skills, your gifts, whatever makes up you, you. And He wants you to use them. He doesn't want you to not use them. He wants you to use them, just using them for His glory. So don't think that God gave you a talent to never use. No, He wants it to be used at the right time. But the more important thing is building your character before building on your talent. Because as I said, your character can, your talent can take you to a place where your character can't keep you, and you will fall and compromise. And if that's happened, bless God, there's something called repentance and forgiveness, and move on. God will bring that conviction to your hearts, very likely. Why? To put you down? No, to build you back up, to bring you back to the place where you can use that and develop it. Because remember, God's promotion plan is based on character. Man's is based on talent. And they will use your talent and use you until they suck you dry and then throw you away. That's what this world does. But God wants to use your talent in a way that not only builds you up, but also builds up His name. So, a thought to consider. Do you know what gift or strength or talent God's put in you? Don't compare it to anybody else's. The ones like me standing up here and teaching and speaking to you, that may not be what's in you. That's okay. Whatever is in you, do that and do it well and develop it. Because guess what? We're part of the same body. So what's best for me is what's best for you. What's best for you is to be in a position to flow with God's grace in your life and develop in it. And that's what I want for you. And we should want that for each other. I don't want you to try and become me or me trying to become you. I want you to become the best you can be. I mean, how much does it say there in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ? You know, if the eye decided to want to be the foot or if the foot wanted to be the eye, it's not going to work out so well. You have a function and a purpose and a place in the body of Christ that no one else does. Every member of my physical body has a unique part and calling. I hope it does its part well. If my foot tried to be my eye, things wouldn't go well. That sounds kind of facetious and silly, but so it is the same way for you to try and be something you were not created to be. Just be who you were created to be. Well, I don't know what that is, Shane. Well, we know who does know. Just spend time with Him. When I first started, I had no clue. No clue. I first came to church here. I know I've shared this before. And when I finally continued coming, I asked, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He said one word, serve. Okay, where's there a need? I'll just start serving there. And guess what? I've not been called to do this or do that, but I'm called to serve. And in serving, things began to come up and come out. And you know, serving is the heart of building character. Doing something for somebody else, giving of your time, your energy, your resources for somebody else, than just using all of it for yourself. That always is how God begins. If you are living for yourself, you're not building your character, and you're limiting and delaying God's promotion plan for your life. He wants to move you forward, but he can't and will not move you forward prematurely, lest it destroy you, because he cares and loves you. So we have to be careful that we are discerning our development in those areas. No amount of bad choices changes the fact that God chose you. You know what? God doesn't make bad choices. So you were not a bad choice. You're a good deal in God's eyes. You're a good investment. You are a good investment. I don't care what your past looks like. You are a good, worthwhile, life-sacrificing investment. So what are you going to do with that? God always meets us where we are in our faith and leads us forward. But keeping in mind every step of obedience will require greater faith than every previous step. Because if it didn't, you'd just trust in your own ability. Got to keep trusting in God. And that might make you a bit uncomfortable and uneasy. Because I like plans. I like organization. I like knowing and planning. But get to a place where, you know, a man's heart plans his way. It's not wrong to plan. But the Lord directs his steps. You don't act on anything until you have a release from the Lord. So I was like, okay, so it's okay to plan. That's good. I like that. I can plan. But I won't move until God says move. We all have to learn and grow in that. God's grace does not give us the freedom to live how we want, but the freedom to live for him. God's grace, all those things, are for a purpose of you becoming all you were created to be, to bring glory to God. Everything. Everything. So last time we talked about all that with being called and qualified. And the next things the Lord put on my heart to really dive into is the importance of calling and separation. Every calling of God involves some degree of separation. Every calling of God will involve some degree of separation, whether it's from people, places, things. When we were called to be missionaries over in Russia, we had to leave the people that we knew, our own country, our own language. It required a separation from those things. But not just separation from, a separation unto. Because no matter where we are, God's the same. But we have to be willing to separate ourselves. See, God's the one that calls. You're the one who chooses to separate. God might tell you to separate what to do, as he did for Abraham and in my personal life. But he doesn't make you. You have the choice to do that. I think back to Abram's life. I was got some clarity with this reading here from Genesis, end of 11, beginning of 12. And then also there with Stephen, what he preached there in Acts chapter 7. And putting that all information all together about the fact that when they were still in Ur of the Chaldeans, where they lived, where Abram lived with his father and family, that was his familiar people and place and everything. Then that's when God called him out to Canaan, to leave to go to Canaan. And they left, but took his father with them, took his nephew with them, and stopped in a place called Haran. And then eventually his father died. And then left towards Canaan and still took Lot. Abraham didn't fully obey. You know, partial obedience is complete disobedience. You can think, well, I've obeyed enough of things to satisfy God and make him happy. No. How'd that work out for King Saul? Not too well. He did most of what God asked, but a few things he didn't do. Was God like, that's good enough. That's not too bad. No. God was like, you're disqualified. You're no longer king. Your lineage has changed. No, God requires complete obedience. Why? Because you represent him. Remember Moses? First time God said, hit the rock to bring water out. Second time it happened, he said, what? Speak to the rock. And what did he do? He hit it again. We might think that isn't a big deal. But in God's eyes, it was a huge deal. Because he operated in his own ability on a former thing God did. And that misrepresented God. So his consequence, he couldn't go into the promised land. Complete obedience. That's part of that God wanted to break off of us, trusting in ourselves and our own ability. So calling and separation. God has a calling on your life. Not sure who said this, but I love this quote. The call is to the heart, and the grace is to the call. The call is to your heart. You have a specific calling in God's eyes, and there's grace for that calling. God isn't obligated to cause his grace to come on your life for what you want to do with it. His only obligation is to bring grace in your life for what he wants to do with it. So we shouldn't be upset or bothered by the fact that things aren't going well when we're pursuing our own dreams to build our own kingdom, to promote our own name. It's not going to go well because you have nothing but your own resources. God isn't available to you. He's always speaking to want to bring you back, but it's up to you. But there is complete grace for what God has called you to do. See, whom God calls, he always equips. God never calls somebody and ill-equips them to do what he's called them to do. God always fully equips you to do what he's called you to do. So you can just rest and have a lot of peace with that. No matter what God's called you to do, there is grace for it. To do everything he's called you to do. Now, in terms of just the general idea of calling, relative to some things, well, there's a personal calling. Well, let me back up and say this first. More broad, there can be callings on nations. As Pastor Bill's talked many times, believing fully that God's calling and purpose for this nation, the United States of America, is to be able to fund the gospel being taken to all the world. There's no nation that's been as prosperous as this nation. No nation that has been so active in taking the gospel to all the world. And God wants to raise up leaders, and I believe he does every time, to hold positions of office and influence to help bring his plan and purpose out to pass. But in this nation, people vote. It is possible for God to raise somebody up whom he's called and that person not get put in because God doesn't come down to the voting booth and vote. People do. So people who may feel called of God to run for office and then not get it could think, did I miss God? No, you may not have. But it's the people who vote in this nation who decide who's going to be in positions of authority. So what do we have to do? We have to pray for the influence of the Holy Spirit to move on the hearts of people who are going to go and vote, to vote for the right people. That's what we need to do. So don't think just because somebody who says they're called by God to run and then doesn't make it wasn't called by God. They may very well have been. But God can have callings on nations. But on God has a calling on your life. On your personal life. And we need to be very careful with ourselves and with others that we help them move forward in God's plan and calling for their life. You know, we think of the fivefold Ephesians 4 talks about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You know, and in our church, Pastor Bill called and anointed to the office of pastor by his own witness, by the witness of others who bear witness of that in operation in him. This is just one example. Pastor is an office ordained by God. It is not merely a title of respect by man. It can get very dangerous here. Because if we begin to ascribe a position or office to a person who is not either not called to it or not yet in operation in that, it can cause confusion. It can cause frustration. It can build up pride. And though intentions may be sincere, they can cause a lot of grief. I'll give you an example I've heard in my experience in life in general. You know, oftentimes people who are the pastor's wife are called Pastor so-and-so. Don't ever call someone according to an office of God that isn't one God has called them into. Whether it's pastor or evangelist or administrator or whatever it is. Because, number one, how is that going to affect the person who's hearing it? Oh, it could puff up their pride. Well, I'm this, or I'm called. And it can cause them to be more premature in things. It's maybe not God's timing for them to step into that, if at all. Or people who hear that could feel there's expectations now placed upon them to have to operate in this office because this title is being ascribed to them. Or maybe others who hear you calling somebody by an office that they're not called to walk in, or not yet at least. Maybe begin themselves to impose expectations of what that office means to them on that person. Early on, I remember over a decade ago, a while ago, you know, this is just my how I handled it relative to this. But the revelation came with this, with Miss Donna. Now, I never will call her Pastor Donna. If God begins to promote her to that office, you can bet I will, because there'll be grace there for that. But if not, I will never call her by a title that she is not, because that's going to not have a good impact on her. So we need to be very careful in discerning our good intentions with the accuracy of God's word in Scripture with these things. I'm just trying to give a real-life example of this, because you might even discern something working in somebody. That doesn't mean it's the right time to say that. Because if God hasn't released them into it, which he will by their own witness and peace, and by person in authority over them, bearing witness of that timing, if they haven't been released into that yet, don't plant premature seeds. Encourage them to grow in that, acknowledging what God's working. But just be very careful and cautious about that. So I hope this makes sense for you in general. Whatever part or function a person's called to in the body, praise God. And you know what? That may change in terms of seasons of grace. I remember when we moved overseas to Russia, I knew we were called to Moscow, called to Russia, and it was open-ended. It wasn't like for 2 years, 5 years, 6 years. It was indefinitely. We moved to Russia. That is our new home. We were all in on that. And after it came to a point, 2010. So Evan was born in 2009 in the fall. We moved back to Russia in 2010 in January, finished out that school year. Then over that summer, 2010, and began, moved back to Russia 2010 to begin that school year. Shortly after we moved back in 2010, the Lord spoke to me and said, "This will be your last year in Russia." I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't necessarily wanting that. I was just wanting to be obedient. You know, if we would have stayed, is being a missionary in that place a good thing? Well, sure. But if we would have stayed, we would have been in disobedience. And the grace of God. Have you ever been in a place where you kind of feel the grace lifting? That makes sense to you. Like, we knew the grace for what we were called to as missionaries was coming to an end. It's even hard to explain it in words, but we knew there was just a lifting of that grace When you stay in a place where there is no grace, you're only trusting in your own ability. That's all you have left to rely upon. We need to be very careful that we are fully obedient to what God's called us to do. And when there's a change, don't get so stuck in what you're used to that you're unwilling to move forward on what God's called you to do. We moved back from Russia, and the weirdest thing God said to me, I never would have thought. He said, those 6 years in Russia were simply preparation for what's next. See, I had in my mind, missionary is the next, the end all thing. Well, you're a missionary. It's what you do. You're a missionary. But it wasn't. It was just a season of preparation for what's next. I can look back now and make sense of it, but it didn't then. Because it was only in that place where anything related to Christian education came into existence in my heart. It didn't exist in terms of involvement. But I began to use that gift of God in my life of teaching and administration in a greater way in that place. And sometimes we don't even know what's in us until we just begin seeking the Lord and He says to do it. And so we did. Speak only what is in agreement with God's word and with those God has placed in authority over you. When we're speaking to each other and what God's called us to do, the various functions you have and that we all have in the body of Christ, be very careful to only speak God's word or with those in authority. Help keep each other on track. We're here to help each other, spur each other on, right? Your grace is specific to your place. Open your Bibles to Exodus 3:1. Exodus 3:1. Your grace is specific to your place, or you could say your calling. So about a year ago, almost a year ago, the Lord impressed upon me to study the life of Moses. So I began studying in Exodus, began reading. You know, I didn't have a specific thing the Lord told me more than study the life of Moses. Study the life of Moses. Five words was all I had from God. So I just began reading. As I began reading, the Lord began to show me things and began to speak subsequently. But that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't started reading. You know, when God calls you or tells you to do something, He probably won't speak again to you until you've been obedient and done something. That whole faith and works thing, there's a reason. So Exodus 3:1, these words seem so inconsequential. Read this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Stop. Boy, isn't that powerful. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Who would have thought something from that? And God said, stop. Read that last part. Moses kept the flock of Jethro. He said this question, whose flock? Oh, it's Jethro's flock. Just some context for why this was significant for me at that time. At that time, there were some things. Pastor Bill at that point was recovering from a health situation. I was coming with things with the school, starting up with the school year, and there were some big decisions and issues and had to be addressed, and decisions had to be made, and all these different things. And I began trying to step in and help as I could with things for Pastor Bill, with different things going on. And I began to encounter just some frustration with not knowing what to do. Like, a decision has to be made. I have to have clarity in that. I just don't know what to do. I'm seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord, and I'm just frustrated. And that's when He said, go and read this. And He said, whose flock is it? Oh, it's Jethro's flock. And He said, whose school is it? Oh, it's not my school. I'm the one day in and day out with overseeing the operation of it and its function. But that school, Grace Academy, is a ministry, an outreach of Abundant Life Center. And who has God appointed to oversee that? Me? No. Pastor Bill. See, there are certain decisions in life that you don't have the grace to answer. And that's why I was frustrated, because I was trying to figure out answers to questions that weren't my responsibility to answer. You can't delegate grace. No matter how much I had the best of intentions to help Pastor Bill, he has grace. God can transfer grace, Elijah and Elisha. God can do it. Man can't. And as soon as I had this revelation, oh, your grace is specific to your place. My place is here. The answer to these questions is here. Oh, that's Pastor Bill. Just a burden was lifted. I didn't have to worry about it. It was just so freeing. See where good intentions can get you in a lot of trouble? Wanting to help out so much, but realizing you can't. You just can't in some areas, because you don't have the grace for it. And if you try, you're going to make a big mess. You're going to make wrong decisions. Trust God. Just trust God. And He'll keep moving you forward. You need to follow your call, not your talent. See, I have a gift in my life from God with administrative things, organizing, just, I don't know how I'm wired. It's just who I am. I tried to look to that to help me figure out the answer to these questions that I didn't have grace for. No amount of talent can ever replace grace. Your grace can use your talents to lead you forward, but your talent can never replace grace. Don't trust in your talent. Trust in the grace of God. Yes. Which means just stay in your place. Stay where God has called you. Know it and stay there. I have this quote on my desk. It says, "Bloom where you are planted." As soon as I read that, back when I was in Bible school here, I forget which book it was from. I think it was one of those books. It said, "Bloom where you were planted." It was just this revelation to me. I see it every day when I come into my office. I will only, and you can only bloom where God has planted you. When you uproot yourself and move to somewhere else to do something else, no matter how good it is, you won't bloom in God's eyes. You might do good things, but you won't bloom. You can only bloom where you are planted, where God plants you. So I try to be very careful. See, you know, when you get to be around people, you get to know the wonderful, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we all have flesh, we all are growing and learning, and we all are imperfect, being perfected, right? And there are marvelous opportunities to walk in love with each other. But see, when you know where you are planted and you are committed to that place, which is to God's will, no matter what conflict comes, you have the resolve to stand and work through it. And not just run away and go somewhere else and do this and that. That's also part of that character development. Remember, God's promotion plan is rooted in character. You want God to promote you in life? Build your character. And that's what He will do. Know your place and stay in your place. Sometimes people hear that as a very limiting thing. Stay in my place? Who are you to tell me to stay in my place? I want to do what I want to do. There's this lie. Actually, Pastor Bill said this last week. So just build upon that. You can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. But you can be everything God has called you to be. So don't just try and be well-rounded in every area and know a lot about everything. No, you're going to exhaust yourself and frustrate yourself. Just be who God has called you to be. And be the best of that you can be. You were created to be something special. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. In the way they should go. That means according to their bent, according to how they were created and who they were created to become. Parents, grandparents, when you're around your kids and grandkids, pay attention to this. What's working in them? They are all different. My three boys are all different. All of them. But there are things about them when you're around them you pick up on, you see, you notice. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, I talked about it before, the body of Christ. Every member is unique valuable and precious. Be the best you can be. Because when you try to be something or anything else, it will only lead to frustration and not fulfillment. And if you measure whether you are in God's will by your circumstances, you will miss it. Just because things get tough or rough doesn't mean you're out of God's will. Maybe they're to build your character. If you're not sure, well, go back to the last time you heard God. Make sure you're in obedience. And if you know you're in the right place, then stay in that place and believe God for whatever it is you need to persevere through it. If you're not in God's place, then you better move on. And then you get out of it and get to the right place. But know your place and stay in your place. Don't let circumstances push you around. You push them around as God leads. Because that's where there's grace. Wherever God's called you, He's equipped you, He's graced you to do what He's called you to do. And I'm going to end here, and I'll pick up here whenever next time is and share more about this. But the thing that God's been impressing upon my heart to share with you, drilling down to some of these things that aren't really rabbit trails, they're laying a foundation of understanding things about, like, Abram was called by God. Leading up to this revelation of El Shaddai, there's things relative to calling and purpose and grace that God wants to make sure you understand, even in a deeper way. Things you've probably heard before over and over again in this house. Good. Keep hearing it and keep applying it.